What up? Eric here from Producer Dudes, and Kaylin and I are excited to tell you guys that we are now streaming our episodes on YouTube under our YouTube channel, Producer Dudes, as well as our new Twitch channel under Honey Gold Records. Be sure to subscribe on there if you want to be able to see some of the stuff we talk about. We'll have some visual representation for our videos, and we're really excited that y'all are on the journey with us. So, see you there, and enjoy this bonus episode. What is up, Producer Dudes here? My name's Eric Jones.
And my name is Kaylin Orr.
And today is a bit unique. This is going to be our first video we're putting up on Twitch.
Yep.
That is decent of quality. And second video total.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, the first one was kind of just a trial just to see, hey, can we get this thing to work? And, well, I wasn't even here. It's just you, so.
Yeah, yeah. And so, if you've been following our podcast, we have an episode out where we talked about me trying to get a new guitar because I was on a loaner. And so Kaylin and I both came up with our top six guitars each, top three sub $1,000, and then top three sub $1,500.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had this discussion, and it was great. And I think it did flush a lot of things out for you as far as, like, what you might want or might desire in a guitar. Yeah. And you did come to a conclusion. It wasn't necessarily one of the ones we discussed, yeah. But I think in the same way, it did kind of help your decision-making process a little bit.
For sure. So if you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes, Anchor, here on Twitch, here on YouTube, mm-hmm. And also, what's the one I always forget? Spotify.
Yep, Spotify.
If you have Spotify Premium, if you didn't know this, you get podcasts.
I think even on the free version.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's you get to select it or if it's shuffled. But regardless, you get podcasts on Spotify, which is awesome.
Pretty cool.
And so we had this whole discussion, and if you haven't heard that episode yet, I advise you to go back to it. If you are looking for a guitar below $1,000 or $1,500, we go through a bunch of different types of guitars and why we were considering strengths and weaknesses of either to kind of narrow it down. And I went totally against everything I said in that podcast, and I got a Les Paul Classic from Gibson 2019, and so spent $2,000 instead of sub $1,000, sub $1,500.
But maybe we just had to come to that conclusion, like, hey, this is what will make me happy as a guitar player, and maybe forking out a little bit extra money for the guitar that you really wanted long term was the best decision.
For sure, and there's irony built into this because. Yes. My criteria was, I want a Les Paul. I want that classic Les Paul. I love that stuff. It's my favorite guitar. And two, I wanted no PCB board on the inside. I wanted it to be hardwired, incredibly durable, and just old school Les Paul.
Right.
And I wanted it to be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So, Les Paul. Check.
Got that.
This inherited 2018's 29... This inherited 2018's Les Paul Standard circuit board.
Nice. Did you know that when you purchased it?
No. originally I was going to get a traditional, and I was just kind of like, you know what? I'll get a classic. I've had that before. And that's a great feeling guitar.
Yeah.
Traditional is going to be a little bit heavier. I got a bad back. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just get a classic. And so I just knew Les Paul, classic, old school, solid. Ordered it, got it in. And then I realized I had coil taps. So I was like, oh, that's peculiar. And then I watched another company's video talking about it. And they were like, oh, so the 2019 standard is basically the classic now. Minus the fact that you get the slim taper neck, binding and open coiled pickups. And I was like, right. No. And so I looked it up. Sure enough, I got a circuit board in my control cavity.
Nice, which is something we were trying to avoid, I guess.
Yeah.
But
plays great, you know. Sounds great. Cool. And so for this episode of the podcast, I thought it'd be fun as far as my half of it, because you also have something to share.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk about the guitar, and then also from there, what are some fun mods I could do to the guitar to make it fit into the universe I want. And so I have a few things in mind. But Kaylin, I know you have a handful of guitars. You were helping me out. And you kept kind of chuckling as we were filming the last thing, or, you know, recording it. Yeah. And you were talking about, like, dude, I kind of want a guitar now.
Yeah.
It, what happened to you?
I got a guitar. Yeah. Like, in legitimately, I was saying that very, you know, just in a joking manner, because I don't need one. I don't need, didn't need another one at all. But it just coincidentally, like, one that I had wanted for a while, kind of popped up on Reverb, and I was like, oh, and that's a really good price. And I made an offer, got it even lower. So that was a contributing factor in my decision making. And it kind of touched on some of the guitars that we, in a way, that we talked about. And it is a Core Series PRS Satin standard guitar in charcoal, which I have one in vintage mahogany already. But this one, it was charcoal, which is a really cool color. It was in decent condition, but well loved. So it had some wear on it, but the wear is really cool. And it had the moon inlays versus the standard birds. So it's just a really, really mean looking PRS. And I've always wanted kind of the satin black PRS thing for since I was like in high school. So nice. Kind of, it was super cheap. I snagged it for, I think that the seller did bump the shipping price up to try to make up for, like, it was like a $70 shipping fee, which didn't, I know it was not justified, but it was fine. But I think I paid like total like $950 for it.
Nice. Now, I will say about shipping, I have returned guitars before mm-hmm. via shipping, and I've experienced FedEx, UPS, USPS, it being anywhere from $45 to $80 to ship it.
Gotcha.
So that could have been fair.
Yeah, it might have been. And that was fine. And either way, I was like, still, like, what I'm getting this for was completely fair in my opinion. And it's a cool guitar. It'll take a little bit of TLC to get it where I want it to be, but that's fun for me. And I knew that going in. So the neck is super straight, like straight as can be. And all the things that need to be there for it to be a good guitar are there. And it's a slightly thinner neck than the ones I had previously. And I didn't realize that. So it's kind of... it's a nice, subtle feel change, but it feels great. So
it sounds like a mix of a handful of the guitars you mentioned last episode. You had the Gibson double cut P90 that was charcoal black.
Uh-huh.
You had your PRS in there. Yeah. I think you had a couple PRSs.
We had a couple PRSs.
And
like you mentioned, the S2 Satin. Mm-hmm. And it's a Satin, but it's one of the Core Series. Mm-hmm. I think it's a... the guy said it's a 2008. I haven't looked at the serial number. My guess would be it's a 2000, maybe late 2007. But
yeah. And then with my list, I realized that essentially I was doing my best to get a Les Paul without paying Les Paul price.
Yeah. You were trying to find a Les Paul sound. You were looking for a Les Paul, but you weren't looking at Les Pauls. And, you know, there's a lot of great copies out there that do it pretty well justice, but I mean, the old, you know, if only Les Paul is truly going to sound like a Les Paul. And mm-hmm. it's just unfortunate sometimes that Gibson is the one that manufactures them.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, I'm going to show you the guitar. It is beautiful. And so it's right
show you
here.
Both actually. And that's why we thought this one would be cool to do.
So this is an Ebony Les Paul Classic. Now, as far as the push pulls go, like volumes come out and those become coil splits, phase bypass, and then a phase invert on one of them, and then a master bypass, so it removes all the circuits and it just goes full blast.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty neat. I never need that stuff. Maybe the coil taps, and I have I took the pick guard off. I just like Les Pauls that are just like,
yeah,
just like this. It's gorgeous. And I'm not a huge fan of the plastic cream they use. The actual cream behind the finish and on the neck, I love that color, and I wish they matched the vanilla.
Still smells like vanilla. And that, a little known fact, if you didn't know, went to make to cover up the awful, awful, awful smell of nitrocellulose. They put vanilla scent in with that finish to help compensate for the awful smell. So if you get a new Les Paul and you take it out of a case, most times it'll smell like vanilla, which is a nice little thing. It's kind of a cool thing. But Yeah. I remember there were some years that they had like the pick guards that were removable and didn't have to remove the screws, but I can't remember. What are those, like the standards or something like that, that only had that?
Yeah. So back to my glory days talk on the Gibson episode we put out.
Uh-huh.
When they were doing 50s and 60s neck Les Pauls, pick guards were inside your cavity, not installed yet.
Gotcha.
So if you wanted to install it, you could.
Interesting. And I know there was one, I can't remember if it was 2016. There was one that literally, like, the way they had mechanized it was, like, in the side of the pickup rings, there's a little slots where you could actually just punch in mm-hmm. the pick guard or take it out, and it was removable that way. It looked basically the same, just didn't have the little, like, metal piece that came off to the side on it.
Which a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I was like, well, for me, I liked it if I just didn't want the pick guard. I just take it mm-hmm. off and not worry about it. I wouldn't have liked it if I liked the pick guard on there because it didn't look quite the same. But
yeah. You remember when I was telling that story about the Les Pauls that had like a bunch of nicks up the neck and stuff?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So those ones had the attachable.
Interesting. Okay. So well, that makes sense.
That was an odd year.
And did you... forgive me for asking, have you had this exact guitar before?
Technically, yes.
Without all the extra... it looks familiar. Like yeah. I thought you had a classic at one point.
I did have a classic. It didn't have all the push pulls.
Oh, okay, so the classic at that point was truly just
yeah. So when I said I bought it off of like, oh, I've had a classic before, these are great.
Yeah,
it was when everything was hardwired point to point.
So are you gonna leave the electronics as they are until they fail you, or are you gonna try to just jump the gun on it
as funds become available? I'm probably gonna get a Emerson pre-wired kit,
okay,
for the knobs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Debating between keeping these pickups, getting the Gibson 498T and 490R pickups, which come uh-huh. in the studios and the Gibson Les Paul customs,
yeah,
or special ordering,
which I always thought that was interesting. Like, it's weird to me that the studios and then the customs come with the same pickups.
Well, I think it's because, and I could be wrong here, that's the Les Paul custom. That's, quote unquote, the sound, is those pickups.
Yeah.
And then the studios, you're trying to get to the best sounding, Les Paul variation. And then your standards, which this is going to go against a lot of what I said in the previous episode.
It's okay.
But this is the honest answer outside of my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Standard line is for the innovations that Gibsons are creating.
Right.
And so whatever they consider the standard now, so robot tuners, high performance, you know, all these different things.
Yeah, and I mentioned that some, like, as far as whenever I talked to the USA CEO, he was like, the thought of the USA line is to try to innovate and come up with new concepts. Whether those are good ideas or concepts is debatable.
Yeah. And but, so I remember an Anderton's video I watched last week. Lee said it really well. He said, both of them, Chappers too, that when we think Les Paul standards, we're thinking Les Paul traditionals, because yeah. that was the standard and historically is the standard. But Gibson's perspective is backwards what most guitar buyers' perspective is, that the standard is what they're innovating now. If you want that old school Les Paul historical perfection, you get a traditional.
Gotcha. Well, that makes some sense.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. I think selfishly, I wish the hierarchy was, no, this is the standard. Here's the Les Paul and, 2.0, and they yeah. give those some kind of other names. But I get that endearing terms like traditional and classic exist in the same way that, like, we imagine it to. It's just a little bit not, it's a perspective flip, if that makes sense.
For sure. Yeah, and I guess when you think about Fender, they do the same thing. Like, they're...
Modern players.
Yeah, or they're what was called the standard. I guess it's the professional series now. But, they had the standard forever. And it was like a more modern take on... It was like a current modern take on the Strat and Tellys and stuff like that. And then if you wanted like the 52 reissues or whatever reissues, or the, the American Vintage series that they had for a bit. I'm not sure if that's still around or not. But I guess those were like, yeah, if you want a vintage spec, you get the American Vintage series. If you want a modern take on the standard, which is now the current standard, then you just go standard line.
Yeah.
But
so the last pickup combination I'm considering is getting some nickel plated Jazz and JB, the hot rodded set.
Yeah. I mean, those, you can't go wrong with those in a Les Paul. I mean, it's going to sound great. So
Now, funny enough, when Andertons did their video on the 2019 lineup.
Okay. I haven't watched that yet. I need to.
Chappers and Lee play through a bunch of them. And the first one that, like, Chappers is like, ooh, I like the way this sounds, was the classic.
Uh-huh.
Which made me feel good because I was like, oh, good, that's the one I got. He picks up a studio and plays it, and he goes, dude, this is the best sounding one.
Really?
And I think it's because those pickups are, like, the same ones they typically put in a Les Paul Custom. They're the hottest. They're the fattest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so...
Especially for, like, his preferences. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense, for sure, too.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, and those pickups are always, like, I've owned more studios than any other type of Les Paul, and it's because, honestly, I freaking love them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, if I'm getting a Les Paul this time around, I couldn't find a regular-looking studio. Like, when I think of a Les Paul studio, I think of Ebony on Ebony.
Yeah, just, like, super basic.
Yeah, and now they got the binding on the neck, which is beautiful, and a lot of people like that. And I remember I got the Smokehouse Burst. And
yeah, we did a video on that.
Yeah, we got a YouTube video on that. And that thing was gorgeous, played great. But when I think of just getting, like, I wanted an Ebony guitar. And when I think of an Ebony studio, it's just black, and then you see the rosewood.
And I think on that one, too, you had some tuning issue, stability issues with the G, which, I mean, is a pretty common Les Paul thing. But it was a little bit more, even more so than normal.
Yeah, yeah. And so it is what it is. Always take it to get set up. Always do that stuff. But
yeah,
life happens.
For sure.
So that's my potential plans with the Les Paul. If you guys have Les Pauls and you have anything you've done to them that you think just made that guitar killer, put it in the comments below. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, and let us know what you're doing to your Les Pauls or some of your favorite Les Paul sounds you've ever heard. And so kicking it over to Kalen.
All right. So I will show this guy off.
Oh, that's pretty.
And it's awesome. And I think it's, to me, I don't mind a guitar that is worn and shown a little bit of love. Let's see that. There you go. It doesn't bother me at all. And I think this color specifically wears super awesome. Like, there's, like, I don't know if you can see it on camera, but there's, like, some, like, pick guard, or it's like pick scratching wear right there that looks super cool to me. And I think as I play it more, it'll wear it in there and be really cool. And there's just, like, a lot of kind of some battle scars on it that are pretty awesome. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that need, like I said, it needs some love, you know. So and I need to set it up myself, go through, clean off all the frets, spruce it up. Just a deep cleaning of it.
That dude needs a spa, man.
Yeah, it definitely needs some love. But I'm all about it, and I knew what I was getting, so it's nothing super abnormal. And like I said, the neck definitely it's been, you know, it's not road worn, fender road worn level yet, but it's definitely, you can tell the neck's been broken in really nice. It feels great.
The neck straight.
Next, like, perfectly straight.
Okay, then that's all that really matters. After that, you could do anything you want.
Exactly. And that's the first thing I looked at. And also, when I first got it out of the, when I busted it out of the box, like, the action was pretty high. But then I think I bought it from, like, some, like, independent shop up in Nashville, I think, is where it came from. I can't remember their name at the moment. But it was, like, tuned to standard, and I was like, these strings feel pretty thick for a standard tuning, on a guitar. So I was like, this feel like it's probably played in, like, drop C or D standard or something like that. So I dropped it down a whole step, and, like, then the action, everything just settled. The bridge flattened out, the neck straightened out perfectly. I was like, okay, that's where it was meant to be. So that was cool. As far as, like, pickups and stuff, I don't know. I've had a few thoughts on it because I'm thinking about kind of making this my, like, really mean, kind of more metal, like, aggressive guitar.
You're gonna put some bare knuckles in there?
What I'm thinking I'm going to do is take the impulses that are in my other...
Dude, that black on white would look so killer on that guitar.
Exactly. I'm thinking I'm going to take my, like, kind of zebra impulses that are in my other... standard 22 satin, throw them in here, and then maybe throw those pickups, because these are, like, the Dragon 2s, which some people hate on them. I've always really liked the Dragon 2 pickups. I've always think they've sounded great for my personal taste. So I'm thinking about taking those out and just swapping them into two guitars so that my vintage mahogany looks a little bit classier and a little bit more vintagey, I guess.
That'd be cool.
And then that will be like the super, you know, the rock metal machine.
Yeah. Everyone hashtag vintagey.
Yeah. Vintagey. Yeah. There you go. It's a thing now. But yeah, it's a cool guitar. I was not expecting to get it, but I really like it. It feels just right out, you know, putting hands on it felt great. Felt like a PRS should. I'm usually less concerned when I'm buying a PRS, unless somebody really just did not take care of it. I'm usually less concerned as far as how it's going to play and feel because they're stupid consistent. And this was no exception. So I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited to see how it turns out. And I'm sure we can post pictures as that evolution takes place.
For sure. And so everyone, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate your time. If you like this or you like these guitars or you have anything to say, be sure to subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment. We love hearing from everyone that reaches out to us and messages and in emails and whatnot. And so if you want to email us, Eric@honeygoldrecords.com or Kaylin@honeygoldrecords.com.
Yep.
And so.
All right. See you guys later. Thanks for watching.
Peace.
Bye.